This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A new era for toys.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Typically, a company like Disney licenses its characters to toy manufacturers. Those toy companies are then in charge of making sure the products are safe. Well, not anymore. Disney plans to tell toy makers today it's going to do its own testing. Plus, on the retail end, Toys R Us will start doing random checks this week, sending toys off to an independent laboratory. These new precautions are, of course, in response to Mattel's huge recalls of toys made in China. In Washington today, the Consumer Product Safety Commission holds a hearing on this, and safety regulators from Beijing will be there. More now from our China correspondent, Scott Tong.
Chinese regulators have sat on the hot seat for months, facing demands that they ensure the safety of all Chinese exports. But
the Chinese government doesn't have the power or the manpower to do that.
That's Shanghai attorney Steve Dickinson of the firm Harris & Morey. He says in China's decentralized economy with thousands of suppliers, Beijing has limited means to carry out its mandates. Dickinson thinks responsibility lies with the U.S. toy companies, who can often dictate prices to their Chinese suppliers. Lately, he thinks those multinationals have pushed those prices down too far.
If you're in business, you know if the price is too low. And if you know the supplier can't make it, then you also have to know that the supplier's doing something to survive.
For instance, cutting corners and substituting unsafe materials like lead paint. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
In Japan today, stocks fell sharply. The Nikkei was down more than 2%. This was a hangover from Friday's U.S. jobs report, which rattled Wall Street. So the Dow begins the week at 13,113. It dropped 250 points on Friday. The NASDAQ begins at 2565 after a 46-point drop. And the S&P 500 was down 25. It's at 1453. European shares are down about 0.5% this morning. Can you imagine if almost every American had no electricity? In sub-Saharan Africa, 250 million people are without power. Africans spend $17 billion a year on non-electric lighting, things like kerosene lamps. But those aren't exactly safe, or efficient, or pollution-free. So the World Bank wants to encourage businesses to come up with new ways to let there be light. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
The World Bank's new program aims to build a vast new market in Africa for lighting products that don't use fossil fuels. So it's offering grants to those who can come up with low-cost alternative light sources. Some ideas include fluorescent bulbs and LED lights that can be powered by the sun, the wind, and mechanical devices, such as foot pedals and hand cranks. The best inventions are likely to get orders in the millions. For private companies, it's a chance to tap into an unexplored market. For African communities, it will make a financial difference too, since fuel-based lighting can account for as much as 15% of total household income. It will also mean longer reading hours for students and will extend the working day for small and medium-sized businesses. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. And by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually and working for an energy-independent America. PublicTransportation.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, SHRM.org.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Private equity is pretty much out of business for a while. It can't get access to credit. And credit is what you need when you buy companies on huge amounts of debt. But Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan says that doesn't mean there won't be any buyouts on Wall Street.
I think now the buyers will be companies rather than buyout groups. And the companies are known in the trade as strategic buyers because in theory they buy things to make business sense. And the leveraged buyout boys, which everybody but me calls private equity, are what's known in the trade as financial buyers who are buying it, you know, based on finances as opposed to being based on business, which in theory is why corporations buy.
So we might see more mergers and acquisitions company to company in the next few months then?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that we'll see more of them, because until recently, the leveraged buyout boys had access to so much money and it was so cheap that they would pay prices that no business would pay. So you've got corporations now whose stocks are not down terribly much and who are loaded with dough, and their major competitors for businesses, the private equity guys, are now been driven out of the market.
Yeah, but won't companies have the same issue? Don't they need some access to credit as well?
Well, it depends what they're doing. If you're doing a stock-for-stock deal, you don't need access to credit because you can print your own currency, which is your stock.
Mm-hmm.
Corporations also tend now to have quite a lot of money. I mean, the big corporations are awash in money. So now they can use their cash and their cash flow to buy other companies.
Well, if I'm an American worker, which I am, which do I like better, a company taking over my company or a private equity firm buying it?
I'm going to give you a really bold and decisive answer, which is it depends. Because if one company buys another, the headquarters operation of the company that's being bought is generally toast. If you're part of a company that's being bought by the leveraged buyout boys, you can be toast wherever you are. Neither one of them is a great thing for me. I generally just want to be somewhere where everybody leaves me alone, but it's not clear that we're allowed to do that anymore in this world.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan is a senior editor at large for Fortune. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.